classes started at Oakwood Industrial School on November 16, 1896, the students shared a single copy of the reading textbook. Other conditions were equally primitive. The diet consisted mostly of beans boiled without seasoning, cornbread, and pumpkin. Church membership was only 20,000 worldwide, and financial resources were strained. So the school was forced to be mostly self-supporting. The school operated year-round to make maximum use of the farm and the other industries. Many of the first students came from the schools established in Vicksburg and Yazoo City. Oakwood's reputation for excellence grew. In 1901, Thomas Jesse Jones of the U.S. Bureau of Education said that Oakwood was the nearest to the government's ideal in the South. Students helped to demolish the old slave cabins and to construct the buildings that replaced them. West Hall, built in 1896, served for classes and a men's residence. A study hall was built 3 years later. But on October 11th, 1906, when W.J. Blake was principal, disaster struck.
Professor Blake, the whole building's
aflame. Oh, there's nothing more we can do. Pass the word to pull back. I don't want anyone getting hurt. Oh, the study hall is gone. Oh, we'll have to start over somehow.
I've called the whole school together, faculty and students, to give you good news. We are going to build a new study hall. Adventists, North and South, have rallied to our support. I'm touched by the faith they've shown in our school. We've received enough money to purchase materials for a new building. A bigger one that will include administrative offices, classrooms, and a chapel. Now, if I can only prevail upon the students to provide the labor. The student crews are doing an excellent building job. Oh, you must be proud of them.
I am. It's a real privilege for me to teach such bright and eager young students.
I'm glad we decided on concrete blocks instead of wood. This building won't catch fire so easily.
Not only that, but it gives us a good chance to practice our masonry skills.
The first nursing class graduated in 1909, the same year the sanitarium was opened. Buildings continued to be added as the school grew. But finances remained tight. Living conditions were difficult. Oakwood was still a secondary school in 1912, the year the Titanic sank. It was on November 12th of this year that a 34-year-old woman arrived in Huntsville, determined to get a high school education. Her story gives a good picture of Oakwood at that time.
Are you Miss Isabella Cartwright, the student?
Yes. Are you to take me to Oakwood?
I am. The buggy and mule are over there. Give me your valise.
What do you do at the school, Mr. Crow?
Farm work. In the fields or in the garden. In the spring and summer, we milk and feed the cows, chop wood.
And how big is the farm?
About 500 acres. Now, we have 60 students in the school. More boys than girls, but we all work equally. Our classes are all at night when the day's work is finished.
What time do you get up to begin work?
We eat breakfast at 5:30. There's the entrance gate ahead. See the sign above the gate?
Oakwood Manual Training School. I'm here at last. It'll take more than a little cold and rain to stop me. I'm strong and healthy, and I've got $36 cash money.
I'm taking you to Old Mansion. That's where the girls live. Boys live in Butler Hall over there. That's the library and the study hall. The dining hall's over that way. There's the sanitarium.
There are brighter lights in the sanitarium.
Well, they've got acetylene lights over there. In all the other buildings, we use oil lamps. They have to have good light to operate. Dr. A.J. Haysmith is the head of the sanitarium. Whoa! Here you are. I'll just drop you off. I've got to get to my chore. Here's your valise.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. Come in. I'm Miss Bertha Bartholomew, the matron. You must be Miss Cartwright. We're about ready to eat supper. I'll show you to your room, and you can come to the dining hall with us.
Isabella Cartwright.
Naomi?
Naomi Warnick. I haven't seen you since Mississippi. It's been years. How is your father?
He's fine. Still working for the Lord. He praises the day he left Ohio. He's become one of the first Negro workers in Mississippi. And I'm thankful God led me to work for him here.
I'm so glad to see you, especially now. I don't feel such a stranger.
What's your job?
I don't have one yet. But I'll help you with the washing up after supper if that's all right.
Of course it's all right. We can have a good talk while we work. Careful of that hot water, Isabella. Don't scald yourself.
Oh, don't fret, Naomi. I certainly can handle hot water.
Isabella, please come with me to see Mr. Boyd.
Why, yes. Miss Bartholomew, I have $36. Is that what Mr. Boyd wants to see me about? Maybe it's not enough and he'll send me away.
Oh, no. He wants to give you some tests in order to be able to place you in the proper classes tonight.
Tests? Well, that's even worse. It's been so long since I've been in school and I never did get to go very much.
Here we are. Now, don't you worry now. You'll do just fine.
And what is the capital of Pennsylvania?
Harrisburg.
Very good. Well, let me look over the results here. Math scores. You're ready to begin high school work.
Oh, thank you.
You've just got time to get over to the study hall for the evening chapel services. Miss Bartholomew will decide about what work you'll begin tomorrow morning.
For the next month, Isabella Cartwright followed the school routine. Up before daylight for an early breakfast, working in the kitchen all day, and attending classes at night. She figured she must have done a satisfactory job, because Mr. Boyd never did ask her for her $36. Just before Christmas, 1912, Boyd called her to his office.
Miss Cartwright, I'd like you to take over the job of assistant matron of the dining hall. The pay is 12 cents an hour. I realize it means you won't have time for classes, but we really need your help. Will you do it?
Would I at least be able to continue my Bible classes at night?
Oh, yes. I think you'll have time for that. I know you want your diploma, but just think how much good you can do by teaching young girls how to work so they might lead useful lives.
All right. I'll take the job.
Good.
Isabella Cartwright came to Oakwood to get her high school diploma and stayed for the rest of her life. In 1917, she married Louis Cunningham, who died just 3 years later. Alone, she reared their son Charles and saw him become a teacher working with Anna Knight. Mrs. Cunningham continued to work at Oakwood as matron of the orphanage, boys' matron, laundry supervisor, girls' preceptress, domestic science teacher, and guidance counselor. She even received her high school certificate in 1936. In 1948, the new women's dormitory, Cunningham Hall, was named for her. Oakwood became a junior college in 1917. In 1933, James L. Moran became the first African-American president of the college. In 1946, Eva B. Dykes, an associate professor at Howard University, came to head the English and Literature Department. Dr. Dykes, who received her Ph.D. degree from Radcliffe College of Harvard University, was the nation's first African-American woman to complete doctoral requirements. The college population has doubled since the 1950s, and the annual alumni homecoming, begun in 1967, draws Oakwood graduates back to the campus from all over the country.